Today, Shem Sechta Vodazara, Daf Samach Aleph. We will begin on Daf Samach Aleph, Amar Aleph, at the top of the Yomit. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah, Hamatar Yenoi Shalakim. The Pashto Pshat, the way to understand the Mishnah, as Rashi explains it, is that Amish is referring to a situation where an Akum, a Nachri, wants to go into the kosher wine business. And certainly, as we have been learning, and will continue learning, Be'ezer Hashem, an Akum can't really be in the wine business, because if he touches the wine becomes non-kosher. So he has a Jew take care of the entire production. But the Mishnah's concern is that given, and we've really encountered this concept in the previous year, that the Akum is the real owner of this wine. The concern of the Mishnah is that given that he has this attitude towards the wine, we need to be concerned that he will feel comfortable in touching the wine, and as we've been learning, making the wine into Stam Yenom or Yain Nesach. So the Mishnah will discuss, Mishnah, the Gemara, will discuss under what circumstances can this wine, given this issue that we just raised, be considered kosher. And again, as I said, we're going to be explaining the Mishnah according to the opinion of Rashi. We'll mention the other Rishonim, but we're going to learn with the Shita of Rashi. Rashi explains that the Mishnah actually has two parts to it. And even though typically, and that's probably the biggest difficulty with Rashi's Pshat, usually a Rashi and a Sefer reflect different circumstances, Rashi doesn't understand our Mishnah as a Rashi Sefer. Rather, Rashi understands our Mishnah as one case. And the Mishnah is teaching us, according to Rashi, that for this wine to be considered kosher, we have to have, as the Sefer tells us, that the Akum writes a document that the Jew is the owner of the wine. Obviously, if he's truly the owner of the wine, we have no problem. But here we're referring to a situation where he's not truly the owner, and he hasn't really paid for the wine. But the fact that the Akum writes a document that he gives ownership of this wine to the Jew, and the other conditions that our Mishnah will identify, that wine can be considered kosher. And according to Rashi, the wine then doesn't have to be sealed. What will be the halacha, according to Rashi, if the wine is sealed? That in itself is machloikus rishonim, how to understand what Rashi will say. Some rishonim say that sealing in this circumstance, according to Rashi, is not an option. The other conditions that the Mishnah requires are what need to be done. However, there are other Rishonim that suggest that according to Rashi, sealing is certainly acceptable. What our Mishnah is referring to situation, how this wine could still be considered and remain kosher, even though it's not sealed. But certainly if the wine is sealed, we have no problem. That's how Rashi learns the Mishnah, and we're going to learn that way. Just to quote the opinion of other Rishonim, the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam is on the contrary, that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the wine is sealed. And even though it's sealed, because as we explained, this wine is owned by an Akum, and because as we explained, the Nachri's attitude to the wine is one that I'm the owner of the wine, and therefore sealing here on its own is not enough, and therefore the conditions that the Mishnah stipulates must be followed. The Ramban has a third way of understanding the Mishnah. The Ramban's understanding of our Mishnah is that the Mishnah is speaking that the wine indeed belongs to the non-Jew. And if the wine were in the home of the Nachri, that wine can never be kosher. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the wine is in the chotzer, in the warehouse, in the courtyard of the Akum. And therefore, if the conditions set forth in the Mishnah are followed, then the wine can be considered kosher. So says the Mishnah, if somebody is processing, is making the wine that belongs to the Akum, v'nasna b'rishus, and it remains in the rishus of the Akum, as long as that rishus is pesuach l'rishus harabim, it's open to the rishus harabim, even if it's in a city, be'ir sheyesh be'ov de kacham Yisrael eilim, it's not an all-Jewish city, there are non-Jews and Jews living in that city, mutter. Why? Because there are Jews and non-Jews living in the city and constantly walking by that house, that will be a deterrent from the Akum touching the wine because he knows he could get caught any moment. The Rishonim debate, what will be by night? By day, it's clearly a deterrent, the fact that Jews pass by. Night, how will the halacha view it? Some Rishonim suggest the Mishnah doesn't differentiate between day and night, and therefore even by night it's considered a deterrent. Other Rishonim say, of course, at night it's not effective. The Akum is not scared to touch the wine at night, given that he's not concerned that anybody's going to catch him. A third opinion that I saw in the Rishonim is that it really depends on how many Yisraelim live in the city. If there are many Yisraelim in the city, so then it's likely that Yisraelim will pass by night, and it serves as a deterrent. If there aren't many Yisraelim living in the city, then it's not enough of a deterrent. Furthermore, the Rishonim debate. What will be the halacha where, as we've seen in the Mishnah, and we'll discuss it more in the Gemara, that Jews could walk by the home and see the wine of the Akum, but there are many barrels of wine, and they only could see some of the barrels. The barrels are stacked up or they're behind one behind each other, so they can't see all the barrels when they walk by. They could only see some of the barrels. What would be the halacha? Some Rishonim say it's only the barrels that the Yisrael could see. Those are the barrels that the Akum will be scared to touch because he may get caught. The barrels that the Yisrael can't see, the Akum isn't scared. Other Rishonim are more lenient, and they say since all of these barrels are together, and the barrels are, some of them, we have this system in place, it's enough to save all of the barrels. What will be the halacha? A very important question that the Rishonim debate. Let's say you have the wine of the Akum, and we don't have one of these that was produced by a Jew, and the Akum knows that he's not supposed to touch it. What will be the halacha if the Akum, doesn't have a system where it's visible to a Jew? So the wine is not kosher. That's clearly the case. What will be the halacha? What does it mean it's not kosher? Some Rishonim say it's only asur b'shtiya, but it's not asur b'hanah. Other Rishonim have the opinion it's either or. Either it's completely mutter or it's completely asur. Another very important point to pay attention to in this shir, even though the Gemara doesn't discuss it, but the Chidah mentions it, and he really bases what he says on a Rashba. Our Gemara, our Mishnah Gemara, are introducing scenarios that are deterrents, where we could be comfortable in assuming that a person will be scared to do something he's not supposed to do because of the various situations. Here, our Gemara, obviously Mishnah Gemara, talking about regarding Stam Yenam. But we have the same type of situation regarding Hilchos Yichud. Can we rely on this type of Shmir? We know a man and a woman are not allowed to be secluded alone. What will be the halacha in this such situation? For example, a man and a woman are in a home, but the windows are open, and anybody passing by could see. And the Paiskim says, I said the Chidot says it, and this is the halacha, that whatever our Gemara says is effective regarding Stam Yenam is also effective for Hilchos Yichud. So now we go back into the Mishnah. So, if the Rishus of the Akum is Pesuch Rishus Rabim, Be'ir Sheyesh by Avdi Kechavim Yisrael, Mutar. However, if it's an Ir Shekula Avdi Kechavim, so there is no Shmira of a Jew, it's Asur, Ad Sheyoshev Mishamer, until you have a watchman. Ask the Rishonim. Once you have a watchman, it's not an Ir Shekula Akum. So why does the Mishnah have to teach us the Halacha if you have a Yoshev Mishamer? So I saw actually two different approaches in the Rishonim how to address this question. Nafkamina la'aloch l'maisa. One approach of the Rishonim is that the Mishnah is teaching us that we would think that when is a Shemira considered a valid Shemira? When you have many Jews. You have only one Jew watching, that isn't enough of a Shemira. Teaches us the Mishnah, actually Yashiv Mishamer, even one Shemir is enough. However, there are other Rishonim, the Rajba, that take a very, and that's actually the Pesach Shulchan Aruch. But the Rajba takes a different approach. The Rajba indeed makes this distinction. He says, if you have many Jews in the city, so you're fine. And nobody has to be appointed as a Shemir. And nobody has to act as a Shemir. The fact that you have so many Jews walking by, that is the deterrent to the Akam. But let's say you only have one Jew, that's not enough for deterrent. When will it be considered an adequate deterrent? Yoshev Mishamer, when you turn him into a Shemir. However, in describing the job description of the Shemir, Shemir Tzarech Yoshev Mishamer, he doesn't have to sit there permanently. Rather, Apishu Yoitzev Nechnes, even though he comes and goes, mutter. Machloikus Rishonim, a very fundamental Machloikus Rishonim, because our Mishnah has now introduced the concept of Yoitzev Nechnes. The fact that somebody could come unannounced, it's considered mirsis, it considers that the Akum won't do what he's not supposed to do, and it's a valid Shmira. Debate the Rishonim, what does Yoitzev Nechnes mean? Some Rishonim say, Yoitzev Nechnes means that he constantly is coming back and forth. He doesn't have to sit there all of the time, but he has to be constantly coming back and forth. However, there's a very bechiddush from Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Rabbeinu Yeruchim is a Rishon. Rabbeinu Yeruchim says, the fact that the Shomer who's a Yisrael, has the right to come whenever he wants, unannounced, even though he doesn't come all of the time, that's enough of a Shmira. That's really the basis of a lot of kashrus that's done. Rav Shimon Elazar, Rishus Oved Kacham Achasi, and what Rav Shimon Elazar exactly means, we'll learn in the Gemara Namid Beis. Continues the Mishnah. Hamatar Yenesh Shel Akam. Again, as we started the Mishnah, we're referring to a situation where a Jew is taking the grapes and the kalim of the Akam to make kosher wine. V'nasna b'rishusai. And it's left in the and the wine is left in the rishus of the Akam. V'alo kosele es gabalti muchamos. And the Akam writes that I took ownership, that the Jew took ownership, mutter. It's enough. So, as I explained, just to review, according to Rashi, these words in the Mishnah are actually a continuation of what the Mishnah said at the Reisha. And the Mishnah is teaching us that in order that the wine should be kosher, you have to have all of these conditions met. Number one, that the Akam writes, and again, because the wine is not sealed. Number one, because the Akam writes these conditions, writes this document, and that the wine can be seen by a Jew. As I said before, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam requires that the wine be sealed. And in fact, just to point out the concept, according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you have wine that belongs to a non-Jew, and the wine is transported, and the wine is transported double sealed, but it's not visible to a Jew, the wine will not be kosher. Because that's how the Rabbeinu Tam learns the Mishnah. Our Mishnah is teaching us, according to Rashi, he has, and the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't disagree, he has to write this document. Let's say the Akam wrote this document, but he doesn't take it seriously. He doesn't let the Jew take the wine. He says, I might have written the document. I'm not letting you take the wine until you pay. This was a story in Beishan, for Asru, and they said that the wine is Asru, because obviously the document is a meaningless document. Mefarshim point out, from our Mishnah, it's clearly implied that let's say the Jew did pay for the wine. It's not just that he wrote the document, but the Jew indeed paid for the wine, then we won't have a problem. I asked the Mefarshim, and we're going to learn about this in the next parak too, but we've learned about this many times, that in order to become the true halachic owner of an item, you have to do a kinyan, mishicha, hagbah. Just giving mos is not considered a valid kinyan. So why is our Mishnah seem to say that as soon as the Jew paid for the wine, even though he didn't do a kinyan, it's considered his? Why? It's not halachically his. answer the Mefarshim, according to the way we've been explaining, it's very understandable. Here we're referring to attitudes. The entire basis of our Mishnah is the issue of attitudes. And says, say the Mefarshim, as long as the Akum feels that he's really the true owner of this wine, and he didn't get paid for the wine, that's when we have a concern that the Akum may feel that that ownership gives him the right to touch the wine. Once the Jew paid him, so maybe indeed halachically he's not, the Jew is not the true owner of the wine because he didn't have a kinyan. But it's enough to change the attitude of the Akum. It's enough to change the attitude of the Akum that the Akum shouldn't think that he's really the owner and he could do what he wants with the wine, and that's why the halacha is different. Furthermore, there's a very important concept that the Rishash makes in learning this Mishnah. Says the Rishash, we've learned from the beginning of the Masechta, why were Chazal so concerned about Stam Yenam, the wine of the Akum, especially nowadays, where we know that the Akum don't use wine necessarily for worshipping, they don't worship Avodah Zarah, yet we know Stam Yenam is a very serious Isser in the eyes of Chazal, because this, what they felt, is a deterrent to intermarriage. So ask the Rishash, fine, we have all of the systems in place that the Mishnah identified, but it's still the wine of a guy. Shouldn't we think that Chazal should have said that if the wine belongs to the Akum, we should not be allowed to drink it because we want to distance ourselves socially? Says the Rishash, a very important word. We can't make up what Chazal said. Chazal set the rules. We can't say, well, we think that given that this is the reason, this is why Chazal should have said. We follow the rules. Where Chazal said it's awesome, Chazal said it's mutter. So ask the Gemara, the Mishnah at the beginning said that in order for this wine to be considered kosher, we have to have an opening that everybody, that a Jew, the Jews could see what's going on inside. And therefore, if the city were there only Nachrim, it won't be effective. Ask the Gemara, and the way Tosfos explains the Gemara's question is as follows. One of the takanas that Ezra made, was actually made to promote Shalom Bayis, is that there should be peddlers traveling in all the cities selling cosmetics. And like that, the women will make themselves pretty, and there'll be Shalom Bayis. So ask the Gemara, how could there ever be a situation where there's a city only of Goyim, there are Jewish peddlers with the cosmetics always coming around? Ask Tosfos, where did Ezra make a takana? In the Jewish cities. They're concerned about the Shalom Bayis of Klal Yisrael. They're not concerned about the Shalom Bayis of the Akum. So if there's a city that's Kulei Akum, there's no takanas Ezra for the peddlers to come around. Says Tosfos, once the peddlers are going around, they don't only limit themselves to the Jewish cities. It became their profession that they go from town to town and they don't start looking, are the Jews only in the town? Are the Goyim in the town? They go to every town. And therefore, ask the Gemara, how is it possible to have a situation where there aren't Jews? Answers the Gemara, Amishmul, B'ish Yesh Leit L'Saim B'riach. Many Pshatim in the Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. One Pshat in the Rishonim is that B'ish Yesh Leit L'Saim B'riach is that the city has a lock, and nobody could get in without being let in. And therefore, if the Jew comes in, the Akum is going to become aware that the Jew came in, and then he won't touch the wine. Other times, when he knows there are no Jews, he'll feel comfortable in touching the wine. The problem with this pshat, asked the other Rishonim, is even if there's a city that has a lock and key, it's inconceivable that every person in the city is notified of everybody that's allowed in. So how will the Akum, who owns wine, necessarily be informed who came in and he knows, oh, a Jew came in? So therefore, I saw two other Peshatim. So the way they answer the Peshat is that the important people in the city are told, and this Akum is one of those people. But there are two other Peshatim I saw in the Rishonim. Another Peshat in the Rishonim is that it's a city that nobody can get in without getting permission to come in. And whoever is given permission to come in, they post a sign of all the guests. And the Akum will check the sign, and if he sees that any Yisraelim on the list, he knows now I can't touch the wine because I got to be careful. A third pshat that I saw is Ir Sheyesh, this is a very important pshat. What kind of a city is a city that's Ir Shiesh by Dulsayim Abriach. A little village doesn't have such a big gate with such a whole system that nobody can come in. It's a large city. It's a large town. And that city has Dulsayim Abriach. And if it's such a large town, there are certainly shops that sell cosmetics. So if the city is an Ir Shekulei Akum, here the Akum is not concerned that Jewish peddlers are bringing cosmetics. Because the Jewish peddlers are going to think nobody needs our cosmetics. The shops in town that already sell cosmetics, and therefore the Akum is not concerned. Says the Meiri, following this line of reasoning, let's say you have on the other side of the coin, a very small village with very few families that no peddler is going to waste his time going to. Because how much could he already earn in this small town? There's hardly any families. Then also the halacha will be that if it's Ir Shekulei Akum, we can't rely on the peddlers because there are no peddlers coming. It's a waste of time. Continues the Gemara in describing, and as I said earlier, this becomes also relevant for Hilchos Yichud, in describing situations that are considered valid deterrents. Amar Rav Yosef, Chaloyim Kushas Rabban Dami. If there's a window, there's an open window to where the Akum lives, it's considered a deterrent. Furthermore, Aspik Rishos Rabban Dami, they used to have a garbage dump, and they used to use that place as a bathroom. So if there's an Ashpa, and by climbing up to the top of the Ashpa, you could see what's in the house, that's considered a valid deterrent. And again, as I said at the beginning of the year, all of the questions that we discussed in the Mishnah, is there a difference between day and night? Is there a difference if you could see all of the barrels or just some of the barrels will be applicable here too? Dikla, if there's a tall tree owned by a Jew, that the Jew climbs to the top of the tree, and when the Jew climbs to the top of the tree, he could see what's going on in the Akum's house. Also, Krishus Rabban Dami, it's a valid deterrent. Or, as the Rishonim point out, let's say it's a tree that's Hefker, that anybody could climb up to the top of the tree. It's also a valid deterrent because the Akum is concerned that somebody's going to climb up to that top of the tree. However, ask the Gemara, Psik Reisha, let's say there are no fruit on the top of the tree. So why would somebody climb to the top of a tree? Because he wants to get the fruit. But here, let's say there are no fruit on the top of the tree. So what will be the halacha? Is it considered a valid deterrent or not? Says the Gemara, Pligbar of Ach Ravina. It's the subject of Machlokes of Ach Ravina. Chad Osir, Chad Shari. Man the Osir, the one that says it's not a valid deterrent, because he says, Lomalai the Salakasim. Why would anybody want to climb up to the top of the tree if there's no fruit for him to get anyway? Oman the Shari, the one that says it's mutter, because Zimna the Avdalei Behema, sometimes he's going to lose an animal, the Salakla Unibasra, and he's going to climb up to the top of the tree to look for it. And because he's going to climb up to the top of the tree to look for it, that is enough of a deterrent that the Akum is going to be concerned that people are climbing to the top of the tree, and he's going to be careful not to touch those barrels of wine. Begins the Gemara to speak about a number of situations and what will be the halacha in each one of those situations. Says Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Echad halokeach, v'echad hasoicha bayis b'chatzorei shlakum. If somebody either bought or rented an apartment or home in the chotzer of an Akum, umalai melo yayin, and he fills it up with wine, v'yisrael dor bayis chotzer, and there's Jews living in that chotzer, or a Jew living in this chotzer, mutter. That wine will be mutter. Af api she'em afteh b'chosim b'yadoi, even if the wine is not sealed. The fact, let's go through the situation. The fact that the wine is not owned by a goy, coupled with the fact that there's a Jew watching what's going on there, the halach will be that we don't have to be worried that the goy is going to walk into the Jew's apartment and touch the wine. And the Rishonim point out, certainly if it's a situation where the Akum never lived in that apartment where the wine is, he was never the landlord of that apartment, we don't have to worry. Why would an Akum walk into an apartment that he never owned and never lived in? The chiddush of this Gemara is, says the Ravid, that even though the Akum lived in this apartment, so he feels a little comfortable there, still, it's not his apartment, and there's a Yisrael that lives there, so the Yisrael is watching, that's enough of a deterrent. Next case. B'chotz al-cheres, But let's say there is no Yisrael living in that chatzar. He's only living in another chatzar. So now the Akum doesn't feel so threatened. There isn't the Yisrael they're watching. So then we have to be more concerned. Then the wire has to be sealed. Here is a very fundamental machloikus rishonim, which will be a recurring machloikus in the sugya. What does mafteich b'chayse mean? Many rishonim are of the opinion that mafteich b'chayse means mafteich oy chayse, either or. Because those rishonim are of the opinion, and that's the halacha, that once the wine is double sealed, there's a mafteich b'chayse, we never have to be concerned about the wine. Because those rishonim paskin, that a double sealed barrel of wine is completely mutter. And there's no need to know if there's a Jew or no Jew. All of these considerations aren't relevant. There are, however, Rishonim that suggest that no, even if there's Mafteich V'chaysim, even if it's double sealed, still it requires a double seal. Since there is no Jew living in that chatzar, double seal is required. Next case. So here we were talking about where the guy doesn't own the wine. And given the introduction that we've been learning in today's shiur, that when the guy doesn't own the wine, and we're going to speak about this concept later in the shiur more, so he feels more constrained to touch it. How do you touch something that's not yours? The need for shmira is less. But when we have a situation, says the Braisa, hamitar yene shel akum, the Jew produced wine that belongs to an akum, b'rishusoy, and it's in the rishus of the akum, even though Yisrael dar ba'is chatzar, there is a Yisrael living there, but given that the Akum owns this wine, here you have to have mafteich v'chayse b'yad, the wine has to be sealed. Because the Yisrael is living, because the guy owns the wine. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Tana, Tani af pi sh'ei mafteich v'chayse b'yad mutar. No. If there's a Jew watching, even though, and that's consistent with what we learned in the Mishnah, even though the wine is not sealed, it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Because it's a deterrent from the Akum to touch the wine. Next case. B'chatzar acheres. You have wine that belongs to the guy. And you have no Jew living in that chatzar. The Jew is living b'chatzar acheres in a different chatzar. Also. Ramey takes a very strict opinion. He's concerned that given that the Akum is owning the wine, given that there are no Jews in that chatzar, even though the wine is sealed, and again, the same machlokes I quoted a moment ago is very relevant here. Could be only because there's only one seal. Two seals, Ramey would agree, is fine. Given that we have all of these reasons that the Akum should feel comfortable in touching the wine is also. The Chum requires Shaymer. Or you have to have a appointed Shaymer, an appointed what God coming at specific times. And the Gemara will speak about this too in a moment. Ask the Gemara. The Chachamim made a statement, Chachamim Ahai, regarding what case are the Chachamim talking about. The Pasha Pshat, says the Gemara, will be talking about the last case, where the guy is the owner of the wine, and there is no Jew in that chatzar, where a mayor takes a strict opinion, so the Chachamim also take a strict opinion. So what's the machlokes? The Braisa is indicating that the Chachamim are disputing Rameyer. They're not disputing. They're both agreeing that this is a terrible situation. Chachamim hainu Rameyer. What's going on here? Tanakam and Nami may iskaasa. Allah Reisha the Sefer. What is the case that the Gemara is referring to, suggest the Gemara, where we have wine of an Akum in the Rishus of an Akum, but there's a Yisrael that lives in that Chatzar, and says Rameyer that as long as that wine is sealed, given that the wine is sealed, given that you have a Yisrael in that chatzar, it's good enough, says the Gemara. And Rabbanon, the Gemara wants to suggest, are going to be machmer. Ask the Gemara, V'amalei Rabbi Yochanan Latana, Toni afbish emafdech v'chaysim biyadai. Rabbi Yochanan made a statement. And as I said when we learned Rabbi Yochanan's statement a couple of moments ago, Rabbi Yochanan was really just reflecting this very important way that we showed him, explained the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan was really just reflecting what we learned in the Mishnah. That if the Jew could easily see what the Akam is doing, says Rabbi Yochanan, we already learned in the Mishnah that that's fine. And Rabbi Yochanan said the Rishonim wasn't speaking specifically to the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan was making a general statement. He says, we learned the Halakha Mishnah. We learned the Mishnah that says that if the guy knows that a Jew can watch, we have nothing to worry about. So how can we say that the Rabbanim require a God? Says the Gemara, Ela Asefa Dereisha. What must be the case that that the Rabbanim are referring to? We're referring to the case where the wine belongs to the Jew. And we learned in the Mishnah, in the Braisa, that if the wine belongs to the Jew, and the Jew doesn't live in that chatzar, as long as the wine is sealed up, whatever that means, it's enough. Because given that the wine doesn't belong to the Akum, the Tanakama Paskin, the Akum doesn't feel comfortable in touching it, says the Chachamim, no. If there's nobody watching, we're concerned. Ella, let's read the words of the Gemara again. Ella, it's a safer duration. The Kama, Tanakama. That the Tanakama said if the wine belongs to the Jew, and the wine is sealed up, even though the Jew is living b'chatzah acheres, he's living in a different chatzah, the wine remains mutter if mafteich v'chayisim b'yadah, if the wine is sealed up, said Chama, that isn't good enough. Loilam Osir, it's not good enough. Achi yeshiv shem yeshiv mishamer. Either if you have a full-time God, achi yava mamuna balakitzim. Or you have a God that you have somebody appointed that comes at specific times. Jumps the Gemara, makes no sense. Mamuna balakitzim. What does the word mamuna balakitzim mean? Mamuna balakitzim means that he has predetermined times when he's coming. Ask the Gemara, Grey Yusahu. A mashgiach that you know exactly that he's coming at a specific time is the worst mashgiach. Ella, says the Gemara, Achiyav and Manisha, and the Balakitzim. You have to modify what the Braisa says. That he could come not at specific times, he comes at all times. And that's a valid mashgiach for the wine too. Chibina Rav, as I said earlier in the shir, that the halachas of Stam Yenom and the halachas of Yichud, as the Chidah says, travel together, says the Chibina Rav, this Gemara is a very important Gemara for Hilchos Yichud. A very common question that's asked is that people go away at night, parents go away at night, and they leave a babysitter, a boy for girl, girl for boys, and they're of age, where there's a Shiloh of Hilchos Yichud, and what are they to do? Especially if we take into consideration many of the we've learned in today's shiur together that at night there's much more of a concern about what is considered a valid deterrent versus what is considered a valid deterrent by day. And to take a babysitter for the babysitter is self-defeating. Says the Chibina Rav, Paskins Laloch Lamaisa, that if the parents give the keys of their home to other people, and they have the right to use those keys whenever they want, and the babysitter is aware of that, that they just could open up the door and come in any time, that falls into the case, it falls into the category of a munish and a balakitzin and the het of Hilchos Yichud. Interesting shaila that I saw from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. Very common question, unfortunately. There are people who have members of their family who are not well, and they need to have care in the home. And the care are people who aren't Jewish, and the person leaves his home, goes all day to work. The husband and wife and the children, they're all gone for the whole day, work, school, and they leave the home alone, the patient, with the caregiver who's not Jewish. And it opens itself up to numerous questions. I'm not even going to go into necessarily only the question of Yichud, because let's say they're both the same gender, but there could be questions, as I said to somebody just recently, in all the pots and pans. Because who knows what this Nochri caregiver is doing all day when she knows that nobody's home all day. And nobody's coming home all day because everybody's by work and school. So he suggests, you know, because he says a lot of the Heterim that the Gemara suggests don't apply nowadays. We don't have windows that you could see into the window everything that's doing in the apartment. We have larger apartments, and we have people that live on the 20th floor, so even if you have your window shades open all day, it wouldn't help you any. And people don't climb on top of trees. So what do you do? She says, maybe you should rely on closed circuit surveillance cameras, where you should be able to tell the Akum that this house has surveillance cameras, or install surveillance cameras around the house, and let the Akum know that you have those surveillance cameras, and that should be the modern solution to an age-old question. So, B'hashkofa Rishayna, he suggests that indeed surveillance cameras may be a valid approach. But then he says, maybe not. He says, because if we look at all of the cases, all of the situation that the Gemara identified that is considered a valid Shmira, the common denominator of all of those cases is as the Akum would be doing something wrong, he would be caught. He's touching the wine, and I'm walking by and I can see right through the window as he's doing it that he's touching the wine. But here, what's the surveillance camera? That the Akum knows that afterwards I could view the tape and see what he did all day in the house. Maybe that wouldn't be considered a valid Shmira. So somebody mentioned to me, well, what happens is if you have a surveillance camera that wherever you are, as he is doing it, wherever you are, you could see what he's doing. It's not that you're going to see the tape later. You're going to see it as he's doing it. So maybe that's taka better. But you could still argue, the Akum doesn't see you seeing it. Yes, you're seeing it live. But he doesn't see you seeing it live, and could be Chazal required that not only should you see it as it happens, but you should be able to see it live. Interesting, Shaila. We learned in the Mishnah. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Rishus Ovi Kachav Achasi. So, as we said when we learned the Gemara, it's not clear how to understand what Rav Shimon Elazar says. Rav Shimon Elazar L'Hakol L'Hachmer. And the Gemara is going to explain what this means. Rav Yudah Mazir L'Hakol, Rav Nachman Mazir, he means L'Hachmer. And the Gemara explains itself. Rav Yudah Mazir L'Hakol V'Hakom Tanakama. The Tanakama says, K'shem Shibrisu Soy Osir. It makes, just like all of the concerns we have about the wine that belongs to the Nachri, apply when the wine is in the Rishus of the Nachri, says the Tanakama, even if the wine would not be in the area that the Akum himself owns, even if it's by somebody else. Even if it's not in his own property, we need to be concerned. Why? We're concerned that these two Akum have a deal going. When my wine is in your Rishus, you let me come and touch it, and I'll do the same for you. And comes Rav Shimon Elazar to say, when must we be concerned about the wine belonging to the Akum? Strictly, when the wine is in his property. If it's not in his own property, we need not be concerned. Rav Nachman Ziri, the way to understand the Mishnah is just the opposite. Where do we need to be concerned about the wine belonging to Akum? B'med var mamurim, b'rishusoi, strictly when the wine is in the rishus of the Akum. Al b'rishusov oiv kachav m'acher, if the wine is a different Akum's rishus, mutter. Why? Because the Tanakama is like Hashem L'Goyim, is not concerned that the two Akum have a deal going. Comes Rav Shimon Elazar, Korishus Oiv the Kachav Achasi, and we're concerned that the two Akum have a deal going. So the question is, who's the Machmer, who's the Mekel? And even though the Mefarshim ask, we've encountered this concept previously, that usually when we have two opinions of Tanoim in a Mishnah, we typically assume that the second Tan is the Machmer, but we've also said previously, that's only when the wording of what they say is not clear. But in a case where the second Tana is clearly the Mekel, we don't have to say that he always must be the Machmer. And the Gemara's question is, how do we understand the wording of Rav Shimon Elazar? Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi de Rav Nachman Amazir al-Hachmer, the Brisa says, clearly that Rav Shimon ben Elazar is the machmer. Because the Braisa says, Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar, kol rishus oiv kechavim achasi. Why? Because clearly this Braisa teaches us we need to be concerned of Nei Ramon. We need to be concerned that the Akum have a deal between themselves. Says the Gemara, the Bei Pazik Rafila, there was this individual who owned a property. His name was Pazik Rafila. And he had a sharecropper working for him. And he had wine that was produced by a Jew that instead of the wine being left in his own property, it was left, the left the wine in the property, in the home of his sharecropper. So Rabbanan assumed, when do we have a concern that the two Akam may have a deal with each other? You have two people, two Akams that are friendly with each other. So we need to be concerned that these two Nachrim will have a deal. I'll leave my kosher wine by you. You'll leave my your kosher wine by me. And we'll be able to do whatever we want. I'll cover for you and you'll cover for me. However, Aval Hachan, our situation, Kivin de Urise Levdarki Le Sevi Beparzik, Rufila, Begayim Lechashinan. Two Akum, two Nachrim. So I make, this Nachri makes wine, that Nachri makes wine. But here it's a different situation. It's not two equals. One is the wealthy person who owns vineyards and owns wine and has a whole production of wine going on. And the other one is a sharecropper who doesn't have his own wine. So they're not going to make a deal with each other. And perhaps, therefore, even the Tanom, that are typically concerned for Goimlim, that are typically concerned for Amon, here will not be concerned. I'm like, Rava Adrava. Says Rava, just the opposite. Even the Mandom that typically is not Choshish for Goimlim, when the two Akim are two friends, so they're colleagues, they're equals. So there are honest people in the world. And they're not going to agree to enter into such an arrangement. I'll cover for you and you cover for me. I don't want to do anything dishonest. Aval Hocha, here's a sharecropper. He depends on, he's his boss. He's his employer. He depends on him for his livelihood. Aval Hocha, Kivin the Mirsimine, because the sharecropper is scared, is fearful of his employer, Mechapalei Schusa, even here, everybody will agree that he's going to cover for his employer, and therefore, even if the wine isn't actually in the reshus of the Akum who owns the wine, but it's in the reshus of his oris, we need to be concerned. One more Gemara. Hu kach dav Yosef Bechamed Yisrael. There was a city where the Akum of the wine of Yisrael was found. Ishtakach ov kachovim dav koi beidana. And the concern was that the Akum was caught between the barrels. Amarava. If the Akum, if he were caught there, is considered a ganef, then the chamra is mutter and v'lav asr. In understanding the Gemara, two important points. Some Rishonim say that if the Akum will know that if he's caught walking into my house, he'll be in trouble with the authorities, he'll get trespass, he'll be arrested, then the wine is mutter. If not, then it's asr. Other Rishonim are more makel. They say the authorities don't, at least especially in those days, didn't necessarily arrest people for walking into other people's houses. But the fact that he's not supposed to be there, even if he won't get in trouble with the law, well, that's, it's that kind of outcome that the police won't arrest him because he's a powerful person, still, he's not supposed to be in that house, that's enough of a deterrent. Furthermore, there's another machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. What's Nitvus Lof Gaganev? Will he only be considered a ganef for touching? That means, if he's walking in doesn't cause him to get into trouble. Some Rishonim say it doesn't make a difference. If touching it will get him into trouble with the law, or trouble, nitvus lof ganef, it's enough of a deterrent. Other Rishonim say no. It has to be that he's not allowed to be there at all. But let's say he's allowed to be there. That, even though he could, even though he's not supposed to touch it, that isn't enough to be considered nitvus lof ganef. Hanu lach Rabbi Shmuel, Hanu lach Rabbi Shmuel, Hanu lach Rabbi Shmuel.